رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى إنا أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه أن أنذر قومك من قبل أن يأتيهم عذاب أليم الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام the most perfect and balanced human beings whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent for the hidayat of mankind. Remember, when this is the selection of Allah, they will be the best of the best of Allah's creation. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose them. If we examine the lives of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, we will find that every Nabi was a beacon of light. And these incidents of Anbiya are repeated over and over in the Quran Sharif. This is a clear sign that Allah has kept hidayat in these incidents. These incidents are a means of our iman increasing. That is why you would also find in the ijtimas previously, the likes of Hazrat Mawlana Umar Palanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to come, as well as his son, Mawlana Yunus Palanpuri Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. They would always repeat the same incidents. So the more you repeat it, the more you ponder over it, the more you think about it, inshallah, the more it will penetrate into your heart. And it will then bring the reality of life before us, where Allah will shift our yaqeen and conviction from materialistic things to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, with the fazl and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we spoke about Hazrat Adam, ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And we mentioned the next prophet after Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was his son, Hazrat Shis alayhi salam. Then last week we spoke about Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. And Hazrat Idris alayhi salam was from the progeny of Hazrat Shis alayhi salam. And now we come to the fourth prophet who is normally mentioned in the books of history, is Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. And Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam is from the progeny of Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. And then if you go after that, then you'll find the eldest son of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, his name was Sam. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam comes from the progeny of Sam. And all the prophets after Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam come from the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, including Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you look at this line now of prophethood and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen them. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam's name is mentioned 43 times in the Quran Sharif. And over and over you'll find that this incident is repeated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the incident. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam is the very first Rasul. Now we have to understand there's two terms. One is a Nabi and the second is a Rasul. So every Rasul is a Nabi, but every Nabi is not a Rasul. A Nabi is someone who receives divine revelation and he is commanded to convey the message of Allah. And a Rasul is someone more specific than that. So with that, he also receives a book or he comes with a new Shariat. He comes with a new set of laws. So the first Rasul was Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. That means Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was a Nabi, as well as Hazrat Shis alayhi salam and Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. The very first Rasul was Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. And he's not any ordinary prophet. In the Rusul, there are five very high ranking. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّنَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحِ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about five prophets, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. So they were the Ulul Azam Rusul, who are known to be the very, very high ranking prophets. So Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam was not an ordinary personality. He was a very, very great, very senior personality. The Quran Sharif speaks about him. There's an entire surah that is revealed after the name of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. We sent Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam to his people, and he remained among them for 1,000 years except 50. That means 950 years. So according to the view of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, which is mentioned, Allama Baghawi rahimahullah had mentioned, at the age of 40, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam was blessed with prophethood. For 950 years, he continued to give dawah to his people. After 950 years, Allah destroyed those people. And so at that time, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam was 990 years of age. And then he lived after that for another 60 years. After the floods had come, he lived for 60 years. So in total, he was 1,050 years of age. There are differences of opinion here. Some say he only became a prophet at 50. Some say he became a prophet at 350. So there are a few different views. But this was one of the views that were mentioned by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. But can you imagine now a man giving dawat for 950 years? You know, you'll give a person one dawat one time, two times, 10 times. Eventually you'll get frustrated, get tired. But he continued for 950 years. And despite that, Allah says, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. There were only few people who accepted Islam on his hands. Only few people who brought iman on him. The people disregarded him, disrespected him. They mocked at him, they laughed at him. They actually beat at Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. They would sometimes catch him and hold him and throttle him. And they would suffocate him that he would actually fall unconscious. He'll fall unconscious and then he'll wake up, but he'll still make dua for those people. Allahumma ighfirli wa liqawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Allah, forgive me. Forgive my people. They don't know. They don't have knowledge. Because they don't have knowledge, they're ignorant people. That's why I'm saying Anbiya alayhimus salam's examples. Often you'll find, now that time people, you know, taunted them and they laughed at mad people, crazy people. And you'll always remember even the people who do the work of Hazrat Anbiya alayhimus salam, whether they are the ulama or people actively involved in effort of dawat and tabligh, they will always get criticism. People will criticize them, but don't ever let that criticism put you down. Because keep the examples of these people before us. Look at what efforts they made. Nuh alayhi salam's wife never accepted iman on him. His wife. So she would go around telling people he's a crazy man. His one son, Allah blessed him with 4 sons. Sam, Ham, Yafis. They were 3 Muslims. And one son, there's a difference of opinion what his name was. Some say his name was Yam. And some say his name was Kin'an. He never accepted Islam. Imagine a Nabi. What a powerful, mighty Nabi, profound Nabi of his time. But his son never got tawfiq, never got hidayat, showing you that hidayat lies only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His wife never got hidayat. A lesson for every wife of a pious person. If a wife of a alim or a wife of a buzurg or a saint or a pious person, don't be complacent. It doesn't mean that your husband is a pious person. There's salvation for you, no. And this is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We did, you know, in Musa alayhi salam, we did the story about Samiri. Samiri, his name was also Musa. When he was born, that time, he was also from the Bani Israel. And the children were getting killed at the time. So his mother took him and hid him somewhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam to come and feed Samiri. Jibreel alayhi salam brought up Samiri. But Samiri turned out to be a munafiq and a hypocrite. So that's why the poet says, فَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُ وَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ جِبْرِيلُ كَافِرُ. Musa alayhi salam is born and brought up in the palace of Fir'aun, the greatest enemy of Allah. And he turns out to be a Nabi of his time. And Jibreel, Musa alayhi rabbahu Jibreel, the other Musa, Samiri, Jibreel alayhi salam brought him up. But better upbringing can you ask for? What more barakat and blessings? He became a kafir. So it's also a consolation. Why? You will get a situation where a person does everything to bring his child up the right way, but he goes off the track. It will happen. It happens. So a person should not feel despondent now. He felt, you know what, if Nuh alayhi salam's son never accepted, then why should I feel despondent? As long as I know that I did what I was supposed to do, that is the most important thing. What necessary steps I was supposed to take, I took those necessary steps. After all of that, the child was misguided, that's beyond me now. I am not answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, and as I mentioned, his wife, his son also never accepted. His wife also, if anyone brought iman on him, now people would come secretly, and they would bring iman on him, his wife would immediately go and report to the people. This is also, this person brought iman, so now he must also be persecuted. Now, Nuh alayhi salam is born approximately 126 years after the demise of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. They say that there are 10 generations between Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam. With Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, we know in his time, Qabil, he killed Habil. And then he took his family and he moved away. So they went completely off the track, right? And from there, a lot of wrong and kufr and everything started off. But besides that, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's progeny were all upright people. They were pious people. They were good people. Where did the disbelief come in? So in Nuh alayhi salam's time, you'll read in Surah Nuh that they said, لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدُّوا وَلَا سُوَاءُ وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرَ. Don't leave Suwa. And don't leave Yaghuth and Ya'uq, Wad and Suwa and Yaghuth and Ya'uq and Nasra. Don't leave them. These were all the idols. So this Yaghuth was one of the idols. This on a lighter note. One day I was seeing one personalized number plate. And I'm reading that Ya and then Huth. So I'm thinking now, hey, this Yaghuth. Then I realized, no, that's Yaghuth. It looked like Yaghuth was. I got a bit confused. I said, you know what, I know the Quran speaks about this idol. But anyway, so how did this idol worship come into them? This is another very important lesson. How did idol worship come into this progeny of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam? So they say these five names that come in the Quran, five idols, they were sons of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam had many children. And the first one, his name was Wad. He was very beloved. People really liked him. Very good person, very pleasant person. Good characteristics, good morals. When he passed away, people were feeling very low. They were feeling down. So Shaitan came in. He said, you know what, if you'll want, I will make a sculpture so that whenever you all will see the sculpture, you all will remember this man, you all will think about him, and it will bring back all the good memories. Intentions are very good. Now, at that time, there was no prohibition of picture making. Remember now, this is the beauty of our Shariat. The beauty of our Shariat is that we have cut off even the causes to sins and the causes to shirk. So they said, very good, make the sculpture. So they made the sculpture, and you know, people always, they had one sculpture, and people always now, you know, admired it, and they spoke, you know, this is what, man, you know, we saw this man, and these were the qualities he had. And like that time went on, eventually Shaitan came back, he says, you know what, don't you think I should make one for every home now? First there was only one. They had it in some public place. Now I'll make one for every home. Yeah, no, very good. Every home will have it. A lot of even innovations that we find now, if you go back to the history, they were initiated with good intentions. I don't want to go into details now, right? But there were a lot of innovations that we've got nowadays that maybe our ulama will discourage us or tell us, you know what, this is an innovation. But it was initiated with a good intention. But then Shaitan found that opportunity of how to mislead people. So now, generations are passing, generations, and people are forgetting now, because now fathers are gone, grandfathers are gone. So then shaitan comes to many progenies later and says, you know what, these people, your forefathers worship them. This sculptures, your forefathers worship the sculptures. So that's how idol worship was, that's how it initiated. That's how it came in this dunya. And that is now around the time of Nuh alayhi salam, 10 generations after Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And that is why we find our Shariat prohibits us from every form of pictures. Because think about the reason now, right? Think about the reason. Someone may say, you know what, this digital was not in, we know, obviously, all the drugs here also that we've got nowadays, Wunga and all, you won't find it in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time. But there is an underlying, you know, reason that causes the prohibition. It's intoxication. So whatever drug you're going to come up with now, whatever name you're going to give it, you're going to say it's causing intoxication. So these things could lead to people worshipping it, irrespective of whether it's a photograph or whether it's a digital thing. A lot of Hindus now, they keep their gods on their phones. It's a digital, but they worship the god from the... Where are they going to go now? Carry one idol everywhere in the dunya. So they just keep the phone, then they pull out the god, and they look at the, you know, so-and-so god. Well, you know, this is what we need. So they're worshipping the idols from the phone. So irrespective of the nature, but because the underlining factor and, you know, the main cause, the reason for the prohibition, which normally in jurisprudence we call the illat, you know, the reason for the prohibition, wherever the reason will be found, then the prohibition will come. So this is now how idol worship came. Anyway, we're going back to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him to guide people, you know, educate them, teach them. But people don't want to listen to nothing. So there's different places in the Quran Sharif. Time does not permit us to go through all the details, but we will read some of the verses, and some verses we will read from Surah Nuh as well. So in this year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of بَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قُومِهِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. He came and he told him, see, I have come to warn you. Openly, clearly, Anbiya alayhi salam never minced their words. When they came, they told people, this is wrong, it's wrong, finish, it's haram, it's not acceptable. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You can worship no one but Allah. إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. This was the message every Nabi came to give. Read in the Quran, open the Quran and read it. I don't know where you've got this universalism that came in now in a lot of the modern minded people, where they believe now, you know, any religion is accepted as long as you're a good person. There's no such thing like that. Why did Allah send these prophets? Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La abudu ma ta'abudun. I've got nothing to do with your idols. I will never worship it. No, there's no scope. There's no permission. If you are not worshipping Allah and you're worshipping anyone else, you are doomed for Jahannam. The whole Quran is explicit. So many ayahs of the Quran. People now, do they know more about religion than Allah? Do they know more about religion than prophets? Sometimes you have to explain these things. Because in modern minded people, a lot of them believe. You go out in the world and speak to people, you will be shocked to find out how many people believe religion is what your heart tells you. So you can be a Hindu, you can be a Christian, it's fine. So he said, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِي مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا وَمَا نَرَاكَ تَبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّعِي. You're a normal human being like us. Who are you to come and tell us what to do? And look at your followers. You know, the low class people, Anbiya alayhimus salam, this also comes in other hadiths. Generally, the people who are the followers of Anbiya alayhimus salam were not the wealthy class, not the affluent, but the weaker people. Why? Because the affluent, they had pride, they had arrogance, they had all that blocked them. They did not follow. There were some, but generally on the whole, it was more the poorer people. And these people, they following you, badia ra'i, you know, they're not thinking, they're not people that got any understanding. And we don't see any virtue on you. You know, we don't see any extra virtue for you. We think you are lying. Maybe something wrong with you. So this is how they taunted Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. He tried to explain to them in different ways. Different ways, different approaches. And this is now where Surah Nuh comes in place. where he says, إِنِّي دَعُوتُهُمْ لَيْلُ وَنَهَارًا. He's complaining to Allah. Allah, I gave them da'wat night and day. In the brightness of the day, in the darkness of the night, I went and I called them. فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَاءِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. Every time I called them, the more distant they became. And وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعُوتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ. When I called them so that you will forgive them, what they would do? They would put their fingers in their ears. We don't want to hear. You know, like some people, they'll say, Allah protect. You know, when the Tablighi Jamaat comes to your door, then you mustn't even open the door because they're going to brainwash you. Why? They're calling you towards Allah. They're calling you towards the masjid. They're calling you towards deen. So this was an old thing now. From that time, put your hands in your ears. Don't even hear also. وَاسْتَغْشُوا ثِيَابَهُمْ. And they even covered their faces. You know, they got a shawl. I don't even see this man. وَأَصَرُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. And they persisted. They became proud. They became stubborn. And he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعُوتُهُمْ جِهَارًا. I called them openly in open gatherings. Whole gatherings of people I went. I told them, ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. Sometimes I spoke to them loudly. Sometimes I spoke to them softly. I used different approaches. Nuh alayhi salam used different approaches. Sometimes now spoke to the person loudly. Sometimes quietly, softly, secretly, whispering in his ears, you know what, brother, please accept this religion. You know, just obey Allah. You will save yourself from Allah's punishment. He warned them. Inna ajal Allah idha jaa la yuakhar. Remember, when Allah's azab is going to come, then there's no one that can stop Allah's azab. There's no one that can delay Allah's azab. And sometimes we need to apply these ayats to ourselves. See, when we read the Quran, every person needs to read the Quran with this mindset that Allah is addressing me. Sometimes we need to make those positive changes in our lives, because it must not be that when Allah's punishment is going to come, then it's going to be too late. Then what are you going to do? How are you going to push away the punishment of Allah? So change yourself, change your life. A lot of things happening around us are all signs for us to make a positive change. Whether it is the coronavirus, whether it is the crime, whether it is the political situation, whether it is the depreciation of the rand, whatever it is, it's all telling you, change your life. Allah is warning you. This is a smaller thing, it's not a major thing. But if you're not going to change, then there could be even more serious things that are going to come. So even Nuh alayhi salam, he thought that the progeny will come, and maybe the progeny, the next generation. But every coming generation was worse than the previous generation. The next generation came among themselves. They said, see, our forefathers, they regarded this man as a crazy man. They never accepted what he said. So they never accepted. And as I mentioned, not only not accepting, they even persecuted Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. They taunted him. They laughed at him. They mocked at him. They made him a joke. And they even punished him also. To that extent, there were times when they would hurt him and hit him so badly that they would think that he died. And they would actually be happy when he died now, finish. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not will for him to leave this dunya. Then he would wake up after being unconscious, having a bath, go back to call them. Go back to give them da'wah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding. Inshallah, next week we will continue. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.